We're in the book of Hebrews. No. 1 Timothy. Then we go to Hebrews. 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verses 18 through 20. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verses 18 through 20. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verses 18 through 20. Then we go in several places in the Bible. 1 Timothy chapter 1, beginning with verse 18. Paul writing to Timothy says, "This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away, holding faith, which some having put away." And he's speaking about Hymenaeus and Alexander here. Interesting thing, the charge against them, and at the bottom of the page, you have a Scofield Bible on page 1275, said it is significant as bearing upon the seriousness of all false teaching, and particularly as related to the resurrection, that Paul calls it blasphemy to teach that the resurrection is past already. And turn to 2 Timothy 2, verses 17 and 18. This is just an aside to tie the scripture together. We come right back, and it's not the message, but interesting. Be good for Sunday school teachers. 2 Timothy 2, verses 17 and 18. There it says, "And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some." Isn't this something that they're now we assume these people are saved? And because he's turned, says he's delivered them unto Satan. And their charge here is that they taught that the resurrection was already past. It says, "Who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already." And Paul, rather interesting that, and I guess a warning to Sunday school teachers, need to be very, very careful what we teach. What we teach. Here, Paul says, I've turned these over, and their charge against them is they were teaching that the resurrection had already come. And pretty serious to the Apostle Paul under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Now, what had happened, I believe, and I'm going to touch on that this morning, what had happened to them is what happens to so many people is that they had reached a point in their life when they didn't need God anymore. They didn't need God. Half the people here this morning don't realize that they need God. You needed Him for salvation, then you hold faith, holding faith, and move about your merry way throughout life, holding faith, not realizing that you need God for every breath you draw. All of us need God. All of us do. Not just for salvation. And Timothy here is saying of these, and what happened, I believe, in their life is this, is that they did not realize their need of God day in and day out, holding faith and a good conscience. And thoughts that I've heard Pastor Tom Sexton speak on, I'm going to share some of those. Some of those will be some notes of my own. I'm going to share those with you this morning. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I pray that you teach us that there's a great need. There's a great need of God in our lives day by day by day. There are some who put faith together and they use it for salvation. And then they no longer sense a need for God. And I pray that you might help us to realize that your presence and a sense of your presence will always cause us to have a need for thee. I pray in Jesus' name and amen. Paul is writing, he's admonishing Timothy, whom he's writing to. He says, "I don't want you to become like Hymenaeus and Alexander." He said, in order to not make the mistake and the error that they made, I want you to be holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck. And there's a warning here. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, in fact, we'll go over there and begin, we'll be there a while. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, the Bible says, "Without faith it is impossible to please God." Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. It takes faith to please the Lord Jesus Christ. It takes faith to please God. Now keep your place there in Hebrews 11 and go to Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11. Revelation chapter 4. And God made us for His pleasure. That means that God wants us to please Him. And yet the Bible says without faith, there's no way we can please Him. In Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11, the Bible says, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. So, God created us for His own pleasure. God, Jesus said, I do always those things that please the Father. You know what He meant? He meant He did always those things that He needed God for. Jesus Christ is God in the flesh, 100% God, 100% man, but Christ did those things that He needed God the Father for. What happens is a person gets saved, they know they need the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, but after they're saved, they no longer depend and express the need that they have for God. And they can do things, they can serve the Lord, and yet not such a need of needing the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, the Bible says, though, without faith, there's no way that you can please the Lord. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Now, what is faith then? Now, there are many definitions for it. The best one, of course, would be in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. But also, faith is, without faith, you cannot stay on the course of life. You need faith to stay on the course of life. You need faith to follow what God has laid out for you. Faith is a need for God all your life. Faith is a need for God all of your life. Faith, you'll need God as long as you... Without a need for God, it is impossible to please God. I have a need for God in preaching this month. I need God to help me. I need the power of God upon my life. I need the power of God upon my life to be a good husband. I need the power of God upon my life to be a good son. I need the power of God upon my life to be a good father. I need the power. I need God all of my life. Jesus said, I do always those things that please the Father. Look, faith is the needing of God in your life and my life. We must need with that faith. You cannot stay on the course of life. Faith is a need for God all of your life. Without a need for God, it is impossible to please God. Faith is a need for God. Jesus says to us, those things that I did for the Father, He said, I always pleased the Father. Jesus had an express need. He's God in the flesh, but He did those things. He did those things that He needed God in order to accomplish. God wants us to please Him. We were created to please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Faith is a need for God. Faith is a need for God. We need God whether we are conscious of that or not. He created us to please Him. Faith always will be a need for God. Jesus had a need for God. That is that as 100% man, he is all man and all God. But Jesus was, by example, was illustrating to us our need for our Heavenly Father. God made us, you and me, in such a way that we need God. God, you can just look around and see the devastation these last few days and you can see how much we need God. And it's kind of, and how blessed we are. How blessed we are by God. I mean, we got people who never have drinking water in the house. They have to go out and get it. People who don't have electricity going to that, they don't have it piped into their place. They live like that day in and day. God is so blessed. Let me tell you something. Every day of our life, there is a need for God. God has made us in such a way that we need God. God created you and me with a need in our lives. And only God can fill that. No one else. Everybody else comes up short. These two men here, one day they decided that they didn't need God anymore. They decided that they decided to backslide on God, and they're no longer holding faith. See, there's something we'll meet them. We're witnessing, and we'll meet them all over the place. Well, I was saved back yonder 15 or 20 years ago, and hadn't heard from God since. Makes me doubt their salvation. We need God. So we needed God. We'll illustrate that in a moment from Hebrews chapter 9. But we need God for salvation. Then after that, it seems like we can just do it on our own. Because we're saved now and on our way to heaven, but God has made us so that we'll not be fulfilled until we understand that we need God every day. Hey, if you understood you need God every day, you'd pray more than you do. You'd read your Bible more than you do. If we understood that we need God every day. Some people that are saved and they moved away from it, and it's like they no longer need God, they're going to heaven. But let me tell you something, God wants you to need Him. Not only do you need Him, but God wants you to know that you need Him. You need Him every day. God has designed the Christian life in such a way that we need God. There's a need that we have for God. Now in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 4, we'll illustrate what it means to need God. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 4, we'll begin there. First we'll begin with Abel. Abel found the way to God. You and I were lost, and we needed, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 4, and we needed a way to God. There was a need to be saved. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 4, it says, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Now, jump down to verse 6 there. But without faith it is possible, please God. But look at this. But he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So, without faith it is impossible, please God. But God is a rewarder of those who have faith. If you live your life knowing you're in need of God, God will reward that faith. I need this, God will reward that. I need this, God will reward that. So He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him, and without faith it's impossible to please Him. So first we need a way to God. Now the way to God, of course, is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Back here in Abel's day, though, it says Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. That is, he obeyed God and he found the way to God. Now, Abel was rewarded in his life with eternal life. He found his way. Hey, by faith I received Christ as my Lord and Savior. God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek. What do I get for that? I get everlasting life. God rewards my faith. Now, but see, that's the beginning. And that's a great, great reward. But all through our life, God wants to reward faith. Without faith, without knowing you need Him, if you express your need for Him and share that need, then God will reward that. Wonderful. Wonderful. And so with Abel, and we'll move through this rather quickly, with Abel, he finds a way to God, the way to God. Our whole trip this morning, come in, Miss Nita and I, we were talking, everything we talked about was a need of God. And we didn't expect, she didn't know what I'm preaching on this morning. But she's expressing all the way, a need for God, a need for God. And I was thinking in my soul, I said, good night, that's exactly what I'm preaching on. A need for God. Every hour of every day, a need for God. A need for God. A need for God. We had water. At 10:30 this morning, our electricity came on. There's a God in heaven. There's a God in heaven. Electricity came. Isn't that exciting? Boy, that's thrilling to me. Got electricity and got water. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Some of you, bless your hearts, you're still sitting out there in the dark. And come over to our place. Goodness. Hey, there's a strange phenomenon going on this morning. I saw people all over, little satchels, making new friends, going from house to house looking for hot water and electricity. They're moving all through the neighborhood. In fact, I was one of them. We were over at Brother John Marks and Miss Left. I saw y'all going through, had these little satchels. Going in there, slipping in and out of place, looking for hot water, looking for a place to get a shower. Hey, let me tell you something. There's a need that we have for God that God will reward. Wonderful. So first, we needed salvation. Abel got saved. What did God? He found a way to God. We who were saved and found a way to God. God has rewarded us with everlasting life. With everlasting life. Then secondly, not only Abel, but Enoch. And verse 5 says, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found. Now, Enoch walked with God. Enoch walked. Those who walk with God, God will reward. You that go on the job and you hand out tracts and you have a testimony before those that you work around. God's going to reward that because they're going to come to you and say, hey, friend, would you pray for me? My wife and I are about to split up. And my kids they've gone to the dogs and I think they're going away from God. And would you pray? Let me tell you, you have a testimony at work and you walk with God and God will reward that. In fact, I tell you, you hand out a few tracts where you work, and it'll change your life. It'll make you take those cigarettes out and throw them away because those people around you say, you handed these things out and you're still smoking cigarettes. Christians are not supposed to smoke. You hand out a few tracts and watch how you talk. It changed the way you talk. They say, hey, he's handing out tracts. He's saved. That'll change the way that you live because those around you know how Christians are supposed to behave. God will award those who walk. Enoch, here's a wonderful thing. Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. How do you please God? By needing God. He walked with God. So we have the way to God. We find that through Abel. We find now with Enoch, he pleased God. He needed God. He walked with God. Faith is a need for God. I need God. I need God every day that I live. I need God. I've got to have God. I need Him for salvation, but I'm not to hold faith back there and just nail it down to my salvation. No, I need to hold faith day by day by day by day, have a need for God, and let that faith continue to grow. Faith is a need for God. God rewarded Abel's life's faith with eternal life, and God rewarded Enoch's faith with answered prayer. God took him home to be with him. God wants us to need Him to get to heaven. God wants us to need Him to walk with Him day by day. You walk with Him day by day, you're going to need Him. You're going to need Him. So by Abel, we have the way to God. With Enoch, the walk with God. Good night. It's a need of God. God likes for us to need Him. We like to be needed. You know how those people found an open door this morning if they move with their satchel walking around? And they're going from door to door to door to door looking for some hot water, some electricity, and a place to brush their teeth. Hey, don't you love this, what they told us to do? They said, now look, this water could be messed up, so I want you to boil it before you drink it. I got my grill out. See if I get the thing at the boiling temperature. How can you boil the crazy water if you don't have any electricity to boil it with? And so they're going around, and you know why? Because people like to be needed. Why? Because people like to do for others. They really do. They like to. So they have their doors open this morning because we like to be needed. Hey, if we like that, doesn't God like to be needed? That's faith. That's faith. He likes to be needed. So we have walking with God, and God rewards our walk with Him. God wants us to need Him, to walk with Him day by day by day. I need God. I need God. Then we have Noah. Verse 7, the Bible says, but by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen, as yet moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. We have in Noah found a work for God. We have Abel, he found the way to God. We have Enoch, he walked with God. That's after he got saved, he walked with God. Now we have Noah, who's found a work for God. Let me tell you what the problem is. And I'm excited about this church here like I've never been in all of my life. I am so excited what God's going to do in this place with us as a people. I've never sensed the Spirit is like I have this year. I'm excited about it. Now, but here's what happens. Some people go to work for God, never yet having walked with God. They skip right by Enoch and go to Noah. Listen, if you can sing a special up here and not need God, that's not pleasing to God. If you can sing in the choir and not need God, that's not pleasing to God. If you can teach a Sunday school class and not need God, that's not pleasing to God. If you can work in the bus ministry and not need God, that's not pleasing to God. You name it, and that's not pleasing to God. Some people go, before they walk with God, they work over to the work of God. Hey, you need to go back and walk with God and then go to the work. And I'm going to remedy some of that before the year's out. Some are going to remedy. You need to walk with God and then go to the work for God. It's exciting. It's exciting. Noah, by faith, found a work for God. He worked for God. Abel found a way to God. Enoch walked with God. He needed God. Noah worked for God. Noah had faith. He had a need for God. Look at this, is a thrilling thing. In verse 7, so by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, and by which he condemned the world. He's building that ark. And they would see his works. They'd see it. He's proving there's a God in heaven. God's told him to build the ark. He's just obeying God. He's just obeying God. He's proving there's a God in heaven. He needs God. Then Abraham, then we'll recap. Abraham was willing by faith to do whatever God said. Look at verse 8. It says, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should out to receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing where he went. But I tell you this about Abraham. When he got where God was sending him, he needed God. When we came to Gilgrove Baptist Church over there with 7 in Sunday school, 16 in preaching, let me tell you, God said, I want you to go. I've got to work for you. And I said, how is it, God? You just go on and go. You go. I said, but Dr. Sumner Went won't even come and hold a meeting there. They've never had a full-time preacher there. God says, you just go. You just go. You just go. And let me tell you something. When I got here, I needed God. I needed God. If God gives you something, you're going to need him. You're going to need him. Follow the sequence here. So we have with Abel, we have the way to God. And God rewarded him with everlasting life. With Enoch, we have the walk with God. And God, in such great fellowship with him, he just took him on to glory. Answered his prayer. Then we have Noah, the work of God. Then you get down to Abraham, and Abraham's willing to do whatever. Whatever God wants from him, he's willing for that. Look, let me tell you something. There's never a time in our life as Christians when we get to the place where we don't need God anymore. There's never a time. Never a time. We'll continually, there'll be a needing of God. And if you can serve the Lord in any way at all without needing God, you're not pleasing God. God wants to reward you. But if you're serving him and you don't need him, if I ever get so comfortable here that I don't need God in preaching, then I'm out of the will of God. I'm not pleasing to God. And not only that, you've got to be willing to let it all ride. It doesn't matter. It's got to be all in God's hands. It doesn't matter. All we must do is strive after righteousness and to please God. And God will reward that. You don't have to figure anything out or politic anything out. You just have to faith it out. God wants you doing the kind of work where you need him. Where you need him. That's what he wants us doing. Faith is doing something you need, in which you need God for. Something which you need God for. God wants you to go beyond salvation. Not beyond just being saved. He wants you to walk with him. Enoch walked with him. It pleased God. He's a rewarder. Isn't that wonderful? I spent so much time on the first part for that faith and the apostle pleased God that I never got to the last part. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Spent too much time up front. It's like what was that little old story about the little kid kept falling out of bed? And that's what happens with us in salvation. Somebody kept falling out of bed. And the mother said, Sandra, why do you think you keep falling out of bed? He said, I may sleep too close to where I got in. And you know, that's true in salvation. It could be, you know, we're too close to where we got in. We need to move over here and walk with God. Need to get something to do for God that requires faith, that requires God. We'll need God to do it. God wants for your life to walk with him. To walk with him. He's got to work for you. There's, let me tell you something. In the church of God, there's no unemployment in the church of God. God has something for everybody to do. If you're not doing something for God Almighty right now, bless your heart, you're not where God wants you to be. God has something for everybody. There's no unemployment, 100% employment in the church of God. God has something for you to do. But he wants you to do something that you need him for. He wants you to branch out and get out of your comfort zone. Do something. Boy, this thrills my soul. And we put out this thing for CDLs. And I got folks say, hey, we're interested in that. And one says, can I come up and have access to the bus? And that's good tonight. Hallelujah. That's tremendous. That's great. That is great. Just, I want to do something. Going after the work. Need to move away from where we got in. Noah found the work that God had for him. God spoke to people through Noah. God wants us to do something we need Him for. I need God. It is a practice in the sense of the presence of God. In Matthew 28, part of the Great Commission, verse 20, it says, "Lo, I am with you always." That means right now. "Lo, I am with you always." God's with me right now. Right now, isn't that good? Isn't that good? God's with me right now. "Lo, I'm with you always." You go to light a cigarette and God's with you. You use profanity and God's with you. You dress in an immodest way and God's with you. You think bad, wicked thoughts and God's with you. If you're saved, God's with you. "Lo, I am with you always." God's with me. That's wonderful. I need God. And to need God is to believe in God, and God will reward that. He rewards that. Wonderful. So if I ask Him for something, He wants to give it to me. He wants to give it to me. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. The Bible says in Philippians 4 that He'll meet every need that we have. Risk it all. Just put it on the line for God. They say of churches, you know, they're risk takers. In churches that pastor churches, they're risk takers. Then the second group would come in to be caretakers. And the third group are undertakers. That's about the way it goes. The risk takers, and the caretakers, and the undertakers. We're going to beat that here. We're going to beat that. We got some sons and daughters. I just caught the eye of some of them. They're going to beat that. Hey, we're going to just keep on the risk takers. Let's keep on going. Instead of Henry Ford. Henry Ford in the early days, he did not establish the assembly line, but he perfected the assembly line. Not discovered, he perfected it. And they said of Henry Ford, that early on, that Henry Ford was a great risk taker. And he just was so innovative in all that he did. And he just changed the way automobiles were made and the assembly line and all of that. But they said when he got older, he was afraid of making a mistake. So hardly did anything at all that you run the risk of. He hardly did anything at all that was innovative, that was new. The early part of his life, he was a risk taker. In the latter part of his life, he got afraid to make mistakes, afraid of failing. Anytime you do anything, you could fail. You lock up 20 rooms in Williamsburg, and nobody's there yet. We can only have 8 people interested. As it is, we got more than we got 22, more than what we got locked up there. Everything you do, you could fail at. And they said of Henry Ford that as he got older, he was afraid that he would fail. Our older folks, if you've been here a good while, let's not get afraid. Hey, we're going to. I got news for you. We're going to fail. There'll be times when we do fail. I remember one time we had a banquet scheduled in Wakefield, Virginia. Only Miss Katie and Brother Fred Beck, the only 2 signed up for it. We were going to go. Remember that? We had to cancel the thing. Well, we were going to go to Wakefield, Virginia. There may have been a couple other stragglers in there too, but there's the only 2. We were going to go up there. But then again, we figured the bill might be too heavy for the 2 of us to take care of. Every time you strike out, good night, there's a chance you might fail. But if you strike out, there's a great chance you're going to need God. You're going to need God. You're going to need God. Holding faith. Holding faith. That is it, not needing God anymore. Let me just close with this. Go back to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. And look at this. Interesting. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Look at this. It says, holding faith and a good conscience. Holding faith and a good conscience. Staying tenderhearted. You can get cynical if you don't want it. Staying tenderhearted. Willing to let God speak to you. Willing to let God. Hey, no matter how long you've been saved, no matter what you're doing for God, whether you've got, some of you may have the work before walk, and they go back and do walk and back out of work. Some of you got the walk, you're ready to go forward into the work. Some of you may be at the point you say, I'm willing to do whatever God would have me do. That's what I want to do. I want to do that. But here's the second part. Tenderhearted. Tenderhearted. Lee Robertson, Dr. Lee Robertson, great, great leader in fundamentalism. He says, don't ever put confidence in a man or woman that does not frequently visit the altar. Says, don't ever put confidence in a man or a woman that does not frequently visit the altar. If they're not tenderhearted enough for God to speak to them, they're going to some point in time disappoint you in leadership. Don't ever put confidence in them. Tenderhearted. Tenderhearted. Holding faith, growing in faith, and a good conscience. Well, it's wonderful, the Christian life is. It's wonderful. Abel gets us the way of salvation. God rewarded Abel with the everlasting life. He needed God. And then we have Enoch who walked with God. That's my desire, to walk with God. To walk with God. And God rewarded him. Took him to heaven. Then we have Noah. We have Noah that built the ark, did a work for God. And they came by and said, hey, there's a boat being built here. There's a ship being built here. And he has a testimony. Hey, and God rewarded him, made the book. He's a preacher of righteousness. A preacher of righteousness. Then we have Abraham, and good night. How did God reward him? Isn't that wonderful? Hey, I'd like to have some of the rewards of God. He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek. I'm going to tell you that's what's going on at Gilgrove Baptist Church right now. As I pastor people who've sought after God, who have sought after God. And they look around and say, man, we're close to revival. And there's a sense of revival and urgency, spiritual urgency here. It'll be costly. Everything costs. It'll be costly. But I pastor folk who have diligently sought after the things of God. Diligently. And God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek after Him. You want your family to be blessed, Dad? Diligently seek after God. He's a rewarder. He's a rewarder. Did you know this? Sin will take you farther than you want to go and cost you more than you want to pay. Righteousness will give you more and bless you more than you ever thought you'd reap. Just a little bit of righteousness. Just a little bit of righteousness. It'll make you shake your head and wonder. Make you shake your head and wonder and say, hey, I see a cloud about the size of a man's hand. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Wonderful plan, isn't it? Anybody here need God? Everybody here needs God. Some will get blessed by acknowledging that and realizing that. Others will move through life and go to heaven and miss it. But they'll be saved. Let's pray.